This week, I updated my Steam profile's featured screenshots to include a grab from Electronic Superjoy that had a character saying, "What's Zynga's favorite TV show? Game of Clones!" Today, I see that Zynga is being acquired by Take-Two. I hope the copycat bonanza and acquisition of Sega's famed San Francisco headquarters created a lot of value for shareholders. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back, and I hope we are back for a nice long show tonight with episode number 899 for this January the 16th of 2022, our first, hopefully, real show of the year. No medical issues, no internet issues, knock on wood, no weather issues, knock on wood, knock on everything. I am here, Rob Roberts, joining you with my co-host. Say hello, as always, to the wonderful Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi,
Jamie Summers. And Jamie, please join me in giving props to our voiceover dude VX Jason XV, because he did an A+ job tonight. I'm just saying, he does great work. So
he does.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, all right.
Little sinusy.
Yeah, I can hear you a little sniffly. It's not the big C though, right?
I don't know.
Oh boy,
probably not.
All right.
I mean, I just started feeling a little bit crappy a couple days ago, but it's okay.
Okay.
I'm supposed to go back to work on the 19th, but we'll see.
All right. Well, hope everything gets back to normal for you. Hey, the 19th. That's a big day for me. It is the 19th. Sorry, my days are all mixed up. It is our anniversary 19th. On the 19th. Yes. In my head, I was like, the 17th. No, the 19th. All right.
Yeah. Wednesday.
Yes. The internet might work. My brain may not. Also, say hello.
Oh, Rob.
Oh, me. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. I see you broadcasting a gameplay behind you because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. And I see, as we are broadcasting live here, you're playing some Mario Paint behind you.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, earlier this week, I had like a game that came up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to do that for my background video. And then today I immediately forgot what that was. So now it's Mario Paint. So I'm like, oh, that would be perfect. That would totally fit in with everything that we're talking about. And then it's Mario Paint.
It is. I'm going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SSG100 Matt points out, maybe part of my confusion, like the 17th being an important day, that is what would have been Betty White's 100th birthday. And SSG100 Matt is reminding us the internet is calling for folks to donate to an animal charity in her name tomorrow. Love that idea. Love it. So
I'm considering going to my PetSmart tomorrow and buying some bags of cat food for the kitties that they house.
Oh, okay. Nice.
We'll see.
Nice, nice. All right.
Or at least going there and harassing the cats.
Before we get into our kickoff topic tonight, I do want to address last week's show. There's no nice way to say it. It was a disaster. It was just one of those things.
It was terrible.
It was an awful week. And, you know, you do 900 shows as of next week. There's going to be a few stinkers in there. And it just sucks that a lot of it was out of our control. And, you know, it is what it is. I apologize to the podcast folks because I didn't get the podcast up till really late in the week. But my upload was still borked for several days after the show. And that's what was wrong, is that my upload speed was, for whatever reason, not working right. I was getting like half a megabyte upload, which, to get video out on Twitch, you need like 4K, 5K, even like low video, you need like 2K. And I wasn't even getting that for upload. So it really kind of hosed the show. And then Dark Sakura was having webcam problems. But honestly, those problems didn't really end up mattering because, I think I jinxed it because now she's got to plug it in.
I didn't have to plug in anything. I was adjusting it and turned on my lock screen.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I use my iPhone as my webcam.
I was like, oh no, not again. Yeah, and I appreciate you guys in chat. Dark Tetsuya says, not your fault. Podculture says, not your fault. Shit happens. I know. But continuing the theme tonight, because Bobby Blackwolf was beating up on himself earlier for things during Awesome Games Done Quick, which there's no need to be. Awesome Games Done Quick was awesome. Games Done Quickly. And they raised a lot of money, which we'll talk about later in the show, of course. But now I'm beating myself up over issues that were out of my control, and it is what it is. So finally they and of course, you know, I filed a ticket and they wanted to send a tech out here, but they didn't need to because somebody else figured out the problem. So I had to cancel the tech because the problem just magically fixed itself on like Wednesday or Thursday. So anyway, I did run a bandwidth test before the show tonight. We were able to maintain for 10 minutes. So I'm hoping all is well. It is what it is. We're just going to push through and talk about video games. All right.
I tested mine to make sure it's good.
Yes. We're all testing. So
my upload is about 40 megabits, so I'm happy.
Welcome to our real first show of 2022. And Loki, you're feeling good, right? Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. And welcome to our first show of 2022. Let's get into, of course, talking about what better thing to talk about for our first show for 2022 than to go back and talk about 2021. But I received a tweet this week that was like, hey, Rob, you guys going to talk about your games of the year? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing we should probably talk about around this time. So I want to open the floor and talk about what was your favorite game or your favorite games. I'm not going to be very formal about it. And I'll get into why when I get into my game. But I just want to ask you, like, what were your like game or games of the year for 2021?
My game didn't come out last year.
And that's okay. And I think this is a very important rule to set, is that it's the game for you. And nobody can say that's right or wrong. People can argue about critic lists all they want and like the definitive top 100 of all time, because everybody's list is going to be different. So it's really like, what was it for you? So Dark Soccer, since you kind of started there and you were saying it's not something from this year, what is your game of the year or games?
I am going to say it's Dead by Daylight, just because I've played the most of it and I've had the most fun playing it and I've met the best people playing it. So the game overall has been great for me, even though it, you know, makes me curse like a freaking sailor, you know, but I've had a great time playing it, and the game itself is different than, the original release of it. Obviously, I mean, they've made some changes, and there's graphic updates, and even the mechanics in the game are different than they were, on its original release. So, I'm gonna say that and Fantasian.
See,
Fantasian.
I thought you'd say Fantasian. I mean, no one is surprised to hear Dead by Daylight. Nobody is surprised to hear that, I'm sure. Yeah. Like, I just knowing you, like, that game, I feel like, has been transformative for your online presence. And I mean that as a compliment.
Really?
Like you're motivated on Twitch in a way I've never seen you before.
I got bullied off Twitch before.
Yeah, and people are idiots. But I'm glad you got back on the horse. And maybe we have other, women, other people of color, other trans folks. I'm calling out the marginalized folks out there. I think maybe we have a lot of them to thank for, putting up with a lot of the bullshit and taking a hold of this platform and saying, we're not letting go. We're not going anywhere. Our voices are going to be heard.
Come together like no other, and it's transferring over to VHS.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I actually messaged the VHS devs because, I mean, that's another one that I would love to play. It looks like a lot of fun. I've been enjoying watching my friends play it and a little bit jealous. But that one also just looks like it's super fun. The community has been really supportive. I haven't had the degree of toxicity. I haven't noticed it amongst some of the player base. Then again, it is, you know, it's in a beta, a closed beta. I would even put that as like, if I had to say something that came out, quote, because, you know, it was in beta at the end of the year, I'd say VHS would probably be up there in the new game category, even though I haven't played it. It looks like it's a lot of fun. Very 80s-tastic.
Yeah, I've watched some of the streamers you and I both watch, because we're always watching the same person, it seems, play that game.
Well, I think that some of our mutual friends have just thought it was hilarious by now that you know, we kind of rib about it.
I'm sure. I'm not sure I get VHS yet, like the play of it, but it's because I need to play it until I like really understand it. It's just, well, yeah, whatever.
The thing is it's you're crafting stun weapons or kill weapons, and the teens are stuck in like a teen movie with one of them turning into the monster.
Mm. I love the aesthetic. So I love the aesthetic.
The teens have to kill the monster, or the monster kills the teens.
Yeah.
So this is a game where you fight back, and apparently the communication is definitely the key in this game. Like, way much more. Because in Dead by Daylight, you can sort of, like, if you're solo queue, you can sort of just, you know, fuck around and do your own thing and maybe still make it out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed in VHS, if there's not communication, if one falls, all fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's kind of my take on it. But I did actually reach out to on their Twitter to see if there were any plans for a Mac release or if it runs in Windows ARM, because I'm running Windows 11 ARM in Parallels, and there's still some games that won't play on it, and I'm actually really irritated at the anti-cheat that Dead by Daylight uses, because the anti-cheat doesn't run in an ARM environment, but Dead by Daylight does.
Oh.
And when I try to run the game without the anti-cheat, it tells me I'm not connected to Steam.
Right.
So, and I haven't been able to figure any way around it so I can actually play it on Steam instead. But honestly enough, I'm still pretty happy with Stadia. There's just been, I've found, you know, a few games since I've just got really, I got a little bit bored with Dead by Daylight and started trying to stream some other stuff. And Cyberpunk 2077 is actually not really to my liking. I don't like first person games.
Mm-hmm.
I
saw you playing something really random the other night. I can't remember what it was.
Demon's Tilt?
No, it was something else.
Oh, Muse Dash.
I saw you play Muse Dash. Yeah.
I love Muse Dash. Yeah. Muse Dash is pretty fun and really simple, but I'm also playing it on my iPhone, so I don't always want to. It's a little bit interesting to play, like, through Steam.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. Don't get me wrong. I love the music in it. I'm also, though, I'd have to say that, like, the best RPG that I've played in the last several years, though, I'm going to put Fantasia up on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story is really good. I've made it through a lot of combat for the game really easily, but the boss battles are harder than advertised.
Mm.
It's definitely something that you're going to have to redo your growth path in the game. Like, you can actually channel your skill points into different skills on a branching tree. And I've actually had to go in and redo entire sets of them for some of the battles in the game. Like, there's one that I have to take all of, I have counter on most of the characters, because typically having counter is really good. It's extra attack. But I had to turn off counter for all of this one battle, because if you hit one of the little sub creatures, it causes a chain reaction to make all of them explode, and then it will kill you. So you have to do this, like, vacuum skill that sucks them all off to the side so that you don't accidentally hit one when you hit the main baddie, because some people have piercing attacks that will go through lines of characters. And the way that you, like, can chain and pierce your attacks, it is so unique. Not to mention the backgrounds and the levels are all hand-built diorama, so it's been, there's a lot of care that went into that game, and it's a care I haven't seen in a game in quite some time, so I'm pretty happy with it.
You're not the first to really rave about that game. One of my other friends says that that's his favorite game of the entire year too, who plays a lot of RPGs, so I really trust his opinion. Not that I don't trust yours, but I'm just seeing it multiple places when I don't think a ton of people are playing that game, because, you know, it is limited to Apple Arcade right now, and I'm not sure.
You can play it on your iPhone.
Oh yeah, I know, but I'm not sure a lot of people are.
You can play it on the actually, I'll just go ahead and say this right now. You can use my Apple Arcade subscription on the OLR account.
I'll get around to it eventually. My backlog is gigantic. That's just one of many games sitting in my backlog right now.
This has superseded a lot of different games that I've acquired.
I get it.
Although I did buy Battle of the Gods. It's by the same people that do Battle of the Animals. You can play Jesus versus Santa Claus.
Okay.
It's very sacrilegious, and I'm kind of...
And fun.
I'm kind of, like... I don't believe in disrespecting faiths, but at the same time, you know... the old Southern Baptist... Sorry, there's something flying around. There's the old Southern Baptist in me that's just sort of, like, getting a kick at knocking, you know... Midna?
All right.
Sorry, not knocking Midna. She just jumped down and made a noise. But you know what I mean.
That's God telling you to watch it.
Stop it.
All right.
She's getting into stuff.
Let me go over to Loki, because I actually have no idea what Loki's going to answer this with. So I'm super curious. Your game or games of the year, Loki?
Oh, my games. Well, I didn't play that many this year, so I mean, I guess if I can do like a top three or something, we can do Power Washing Sim, because that's awesome.
That's a pick that was going through my head too. Absolutely.
So yeah, Power Washing Simulator, Hot Shots Racing.
Would be pretty cool. Yep.
That's a pretty solid racing game. I mean, obviously Minecraft. And my game, sure.
I was gonna put Pixel Poops number two on my list, but then I was like, conflict of interest? What?
It's fine.
Ethics? What? All right, so, it's absolutely worthy of honorable mention.
The only games that I played this year, so I mean that's gonna be it.
For me, so I have kind of like three different answers. It's not a top three, but the three different mindsets I've been in approaching this question. And at first I was like, all right, if I'm going to just do the traditional pick, I mean, I kind of feel like Loki. I haven't played a lot of games this year. That doesn't mean I dislike gaming or I should be unqualified from talking about video gaming. I just feel like a lot of the old standbys, a lot of the gold classics have really carried me through this year, and I haven't been very adventurous in exploring a lot of new titles. And I think there's a lot of factors that play into that, and that's just the way it is. That made up my year. It doesn't make me any less of a gaming fan just because I'm playing classics. But I think, you know, if I were to take this question from a traditional perspective, I'd probably say, probably Forza Horizon 5. You know, it was a game I was super hyped about, loved Forza Horizon 4. Forza Horizon 5 is like more of the same. And is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. It's brilliant. There's so much to see and do in that game. It's great. But the more I kind of thought about it, like, honestly, I was totally prepared to come into the show tonight and give the big spiel about why I think the 2022 game of the year, I mean, there's been a lot of the 2021 game of the year that we're talking about in 2022. I honestly think there's been a lot of stuff this year that's not great about gaming. From the technical and logistical perspective of, I still can't go into Target and get a PlayStation 5. These things are still being scalped. Same thing with Series X. Series S, I guess, is getting a little bit easier. I mean, you can buy those on Woot now, but...
Yeah, I saw those the other day,
For the most part, the next generation of gaming is still inaccessible for a lot of people. And you put on top of that the fact that there's been a lot of bullshit in our industry that's really floated to the top this year between what's going on with Activision, Blizzard, Ubisoft. I mean, we've talked about it weeks and weeks on this show. And the reckoning needed to happen, but the fact that a lot of this bullshit is still out there and exacerbated by the fact that Bobby Kotick is still the CEO of Activision for some stupid reason. I honestly was ready to walk in here tonight and say, I think the game of the year for 2021 is nothing. And I think for the 20 years we've been doing this show, I think I probably would be fully justified in saying, I think this year more than any other, nothing deserves to be the game of the year. And it's not to say that every game that came out the year was bad. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying our industry is not in a great point. and there was nothing that really grabbed me away from the old reliables, the old comfort foods. And I'm not sure 2021 was very successful in pushing things forward in the industry. In fact, it felt like a step backwards. So in a way, honestly, in many ways, my answer is 2021's Game of the Year is nothing. But then I really thought about it. And I kind of thought about, okay, if this is supposed to be my Game of the Year and me and the things I've been going through and the things that I like and a lot of the stuff that has been very important to me in my journey with a lot of the health issues I've talked about in the past couple months, because it really has been just the past few months and so forth, I think I've landed on that my personal Game of the Year is Pikmin Bloom. Which probably isn't that surprising. I've always been a shill of some sorts for Niantic games just because I've really enjoyed things like Ingress, Pokemon Go. Heck, I played that Harry Potter game when it first came out before, you know who was all over Twitter, and we're not going to go there. I really was looking forward to the Catan and their other releases. So, yeah, sure, of course, there's always going to be that element of, and even non-Niantic things like Orna. I've always been super into like the GPS phone games. But I think Pikmin, while still having a ways to go in making that game better and a more quality product, I think there's some game balance, some serious game balance issues and shop microtransaction balance issues the game has to address. And it's really echoing a lot of the same stuff that's all over Reddit and all of that. But I think what the game has done very well is it's done a very good job incentivizing walking without making it feel like too much. Because let's be real, in Ingress, a lot of people don't walk. Most of those portals and things, you don't really walk to them. A lot of people are using their cars. They're drive-bys. So, yes, some portals are harder to get to than others, and you have to walk to get them, sure. But, and I spent...
Especially those darn ones behind, locked gates and property. I'm just saying.
And I've spent more hours than not playing Ingress probably, so far. I'm not like knocking the game, but it's just I really walk and get exercise playing that game. Pokemon Go, same thing. It's a lot of drive-bys. It's a lot of, that sort of thing in your car, catching Pokemon. And maybe community days kind of get you out walking around. But even then, there's a lot of stop, catch, go. Stop, catch, go. Stop, catch, go. Right? Like Pokemon isn't really about the fitness for a lot of people. I think Pikmin has found that really good balance where you set it, forget it, and move to get your rewards. And again, I don't think the game is perfect, but I'm just saying that I've walked 500,000 steps in the last couple months, and this is the time more than anything I've needed incentive to keep me good and keep me on this track I've been on. And Pikmin Bloom's been able to do that for me. So I think in many ways, the game is probably like the right place at the right time sort of thing. But I'm not going to apologize for the fact that those factors make it my favorite game of the year. So that's my answer. Looking at some comments in chat. Tiger Claw says, give it to Nintendo. What about Metroid Dread? I did give it to Nintendo. I love Metroid. I haven't finished Dread yet because I had some pain playing it. The control issues in that game hold it back from being number one for me a little bit. Adris in chat says Endwalker for me. Great answer. I love Endwalker. I love Final Fantasy 14. I hate the sound issues that still aren't fixed. Hopefully they're supposed to be in the next patch. I hate the queue issues that have arisen. I still love Endwalker. I still love Final Fantasy 14, but I'm not sure I felt as good about it as I did Shadowbringers, which was in my top three the year that came out. So, and Black Compat in chat. Hi there. I hope everybody's following your channel, by the way. Black Compat says, Ubi, Acti, Bungie, so much caca duty going on in the industry. Absolutely. And that's why I think in many ways, like maybe the game of the year, I know I said nothing, but maybe the game of the year needs to be the workers, the frontline workers, the people that need the credit and do the work for what's going on. I'm not sure exactly how to articulate that. Because I know nothing sounds like a big negative, but I think I say that more like the industry kind of needs to take a look at itself sort of thing. If that makes sense. I don't know. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was looking backward. Let's look forward. What do we predict? Now, we're not in person, so I don't have the little robot and all that stuff, but we can always make a clip out of this.
The Darth Vader tin
can. And revisit it later of our 2022 predictions. So I'm curious, what do you guys think is going to happen in the industry in 2022? Do you have any safe predictions or outrageous predictions? What are your guesses? So Dark Sakura, I'll start with you again. What is one prediction you have about the games industry for 2022?
As much as I hate it, they are still going to try to pull this NFT bullshit.
The NFT bullshit is not going to slow down. Interesting, because I know we have a story coming up on that later.
We do.
That indicates...
But companies don't learn.
Interesting. Okay.
I think that they're going to find some other way to make it attractive, or just do it anyway. And people are going to want to play certain things. They're going to do it with the irresistible title.
I think there is something to that, and I tend to agree that they're going to force the narrative to be NFTs are a success because they're going to tie it to something that's not going to fail. They're going to tie it to...
make it sound like they're spending their in-game currency.
Yes.
To buy a thing.
Yes.
But they have to spend money to buy their in-game currency. And they will own this thing, yes, because it is an NFT, but it has, in the end, cost actual money for them to acquire the points to buy the item. And as far as they know, it's an in-game item. They're going to make it entirely deceptive.
They'll tie FIFA packs to NFTs or something like that and say, oh, look at what a success NFTs are, when it's like people weren't buying it for that. They were buying it for other stuff.
Right.
So
that's where I think it's going to go.
Okay.
It's going to have to become a deceptive practice.
Okay.
Just kind of like how loot crates, you know, were a fairly deceptive practice.
All right. I get it. I'm with you there. I kind of agree with that one. Loki, what about one of yours?
Bobby Kotick is still going to be CEO of Activision Blizzard, and he's going to even receive more money this year.
I hate that. I hate it. I don't disagree. It's ridiculous. For me, let's see. I'm going to predict. I'll also go with a safe one. If Loki's going to take a safe one, I'm going to play a safe one too. I think there will be a new Xbox Series underscore for the holiday. I think this latest Xbox thing was kind of designed to do that, where they're going to release another thing in the Series line. It's kind of like maybe the Xbox Pro or something like that. I don't know. But I think that'll be a thing. I predict there's going to be an Xbox Series Y or something this year. I'll say Xbox Series
Double
Y.
X.
Yeah, Xbox Series Triple X. All right. Any more anyone wants to throw out there? I'll open this up to our chatters as well.
I don't know. Like, it's the same disappointment all year round.
SSJ100 Matt says, will you be able to go into a store and get a PlayStation 5 this year? No.
No.
I think it'll still go the whole way. And I think the VR thing is going to have the same problem. And I also think this is why, and I'm going to say no Nintendo Switch upgrade this year. Or, well, no major Nintendo Switch upgrade this year. They'll do something like, OLED, you know, something that's minorly incremental. But I predict no major Switch update until, I think they'll go with the off season again. Nintendo doesn't need to be on the holiday. I'd say March 2023.
I got one.
Okay.
The Intellivision Miko isn't coming out this year. And in fact, they don't release it. They just cancel the project.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Okay. Let's see. She-Hulk in chat says, Game Pass on Switch 2022. There's something about that doesn't click for me. Like, what does Nintendo have to gain from that? That's the only thing that doesn't, like I want to see it, don't get me wrong. I'm just not sure I understand what Nintendo would really get from that, unless there's something to be said about, like, Nintendo games on the Xbox platform, which makes absolutely no sense.
I would love that.
Maybe money. I guess, yeah, they throw a shitload of money at it. Maybe.
Come on, pull a Sega. It worked well for them, right? Eh?
Adris in chat says, attempt to tie games into the metaverse virtual spaces. Ooh, I kind of like that. You know what? I'll go with a crazy pick along those lines. I'm going to say that long-rumored PlayStation Home reboot for VR is a VR2 launch thing. Why not? I'll go. The PlayStation Home reboot is a VR2 thing. I'll go with that. I like that one. Sure. Okay. Last call. Any more? Wild predictions? Sony, Microsoft, PlayStation, the rest of the industry? Arcades?
I think Stadia is going to keep going strong.
So Google will continue to invest in Stadia when a lot of people said they would throw it away by now.
Yeah, and indeed, there hasn't been any sort of notice about them slowing down with it. It apparently still seems to be making money.
Mm-hmm.
And there is quite a bit of a following around it now. Mm. The cult of Stadia grows.
Okay.
It got some great games on there, too. I mean, I'll just put it out there. And then Epic is going to continue to bite off of everybody else's ideas.
You know what, though? I was just going to say, Darksoccer talking about Stadia, I think maybe answered the question for me, what could Nintendo and Microsoft have to gain from a Game Pass partnership? I think if Nintendo is able to have a Microsoft cloud player, I think that's what it would be. Not Game Pass directly where you install the games, but if Nintendo Switch devices had a Microsoft cloud player on them to play Game Pass games. Because Microsoft, I don't think, is interested in that portable gaming space. You know, we've never seen them go. I mean, yes, they have tablets, sure, they have, but they realize, Phil Spencer and many people at Microsoft realize the Nintendo Switch has broken through in a way that no Windows phone or Surface tablet or any of Microsoft's to-go products are ever going to get to. And I think if Microsoft, maybe the alliance is, they'll do advertising for Nintendo Switch because Nintendo Switch plays the Microsoft cloud platform. I think that's where the agreement could ultimately be. So I will say you gave me that aha moment in talking about Stadia. I think that's the win for that alliance happening. Ooh, Mike Deft in chat says E3 will turn into Summer Games Fest. ESA will let Jeff just do it all for them next year. Bobby Blackwolf says the ESA wouldn't do that at this point. Too much animosity. They'll go under first. Thank you. That's a great prediction. The ESA goes under in 2023. There is no E3 2023 because people finally realize the ESA is a horribly managed organization that has run behind the curve for far too long and has not been able to innovate in a way that a tech company needs to be able to innovate. Thank you, Bobby. I think that's a pretty, maybe we're a little ways out, but I think there is no talk of ever returning to an in-person E3, and it has nothing to do with COVID. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, I know Switch does have a few cloud-based games, so if they could set up a full-on service for it, sure. I think there's a lot of good stuff there. Mike Dev says, I would have gone with my yearly prediction of E3 and ESA disappearing, but it would have been 3 years in a row now. This is the year to do it, Deft. This is the year. SG100 Matt says, the new Saints Row game comes out and Loki likes it. I'm not sure if that's a safe prediction. I think it's a wishful one.
I'll probably play. I'm definitely going to play it.
I would hope so. It's like your series.
Yeah, it is. All right. And after all, like, you know, what am I going to do? Wait until Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out? I mean, come on, I'll be dead by then.
Yikes. All right.
I mean, it's just going to take like several decades for them to release it. That's
okay. Okay, make this 2022 prediction then. Do we see a frame of Grand Theft Auto 6?
No.
Okay.
None. Zero. Okay. There'll be no announcements for Grand Theft Auto 6.
All right. Let's move on to our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. And we'll start with Darksoccer. How was your gaming week?
I played a lot of Dead by Daylight. I played 12 and a half hours of Dead by Daylight on Wednesday, and nobody really did anything.
I was lurking for a little bit.
Yeah, but I was, you know, trying to do a join-a-thon, hopefully, you know, get some more people interested. And I did get 3 adepts, though, by the way.
There you go.
I adepted Legion, I adepted Trickster, and Clown. The thing is that I still have like 10 cakes left on Trickster, so I have to play him some more to use up those cakes before I prestige him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been prestiging characters, so to date, the adepts that I have, and keep in mind, I am a mediocre player, so me getting any kind of adept is like a big deal for me. So I have Clown, Doctor, Ghostface, Hag, Huntress, which I did nothing but M1 Huntress. I didn't throw a single hatchet. I had a challenge to hit 10 people with just the regular axe. So I put on that thing that gives her like great movement speed when she doesn't have any hatchets. And then that thing that reduces her hatchets to 1 hatchet. So I got rid of my 1 hatchet and I was instantly fast. And it was funny. The people afterwards thought that it was hilarious. So okay. I had a lot of fun. Okay. I also got I had Legion, Nightmare, Nurse, which I either had really new people because they were all Ash, or they were memeing, and that was fine. I don't mind them helping me get adept because that means I don't have to try on Nurse ever again.
Yeah.
And Trapper and Trickster, like I said. So those are the ones that I have. I'm working on Pig right now, which is...
That's a hard one, I hear.
It's a hard one. Her perks suck.
I don't think I have a lot of
adept. I've only done as well as I have
killers.
Because I'm decent at Pig.
I have a lot of adept survivors because all you have to do is get out and you just sometimes you luck out and you just have a killer that can't get you and you get out and you get the adept. But killer ones are hard because you have to play a max game. Basically, you have to double pip with only their base talents, which is tricky.
You have to be way on top of your game. And I think it's highly imbalanced. I think it should be blood points.
Yeah. And I don't think any killer there are three set base perk set is good. I don't think any killer has
Clown.
All three. I was gonna say Hag probably is the quote unquote easiest. In fact, I think I might have Adept Hag. So,
and I will just say this, that the easiest of them all for me to get was Trapper. First try.
Interesting.
Then again, Nurse was also first try, but I lucked into the survivors that I got. And they were basically just letting me practice blinking the entire time. Right. Like, until I could get my blinks down.
So, well, come on,
sorry achievements. Sorry to interrupt, but of course, because you guys had to all jinx it for us for 2022, we just got the power company coming to our door saying that they're going to shut the power off at some point for an hour.
Tonight?
Thanks, you guys.
Tonight?
Tonight. Anytime. Because they're working on something. So thank you, 2022. We're just never going to have a show, I guess. Or a full show.
I hate it here. All right. We'll get through as much as we can. And at least when we lose Loki, we'll know why. Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Loki,
for
how...
fuck's sake.
Dark Soccer,
well,
I don't mean to cut you off, but we probably should get to Loki's
game
of week.
I'll finish mine after Loki.
Okay, Loki, how was your game of week?
It's all Minecraft and debugging stuff with our server, trying to figure out why it's laggy. No idea. Still trying to figure it out.
Is it running on Comcast?
I put out my new episode, though. I think there's a new episode out.
I did see a new YouTube in our Discord server.
Oh, yeah. So check that out.
Okay, awesome. All right, Jamie, go ahead and finish up.
I also played Demon's Tilt. That game is, like, super fun. Of course, Fantasian. How can I leave out Fantasian? Which, I don't know what it is, but that two of the boss battles that were giving me the biggest fits... I just blew them away. They were easy after that. And then I got to a place that I'm not supposed to do yet. So I played a little bit of it and I'm backtracking some.
What?
So.
All right.
But it's fun. It's really great. Everyone should play it.
My gaming week, honestly, with the internet issues, it kind of cut into some stuff, so I didn't get to play a whole lot, but I did play some Final Fantasy 14, of course. I got so my Gunbreaker got through the main scenario and is level 90. That all happened weeks ago, but now my Bard is level 90 as well. Bard's a lot of fun to play this time around. I've been kind of sleeping on it the last couple expansions, but Bard's really cool this time. So I got Bard to 90. And then I've been working on crafting gathering. So my miner, botanist, and then like four of my crafters are all level 90 as well. So I've been pushing some of my classes there and just trying to do my daily dungeons to get tomes and all that good stuff. So there's that. I've also been playing a little bit of Dead by Daylight. No real accomplishments to scream about. Oh, I had such a bad squad today. I got that achievement for hooking three people in the basement. I thought you had to do it all at the same time, but apparently no, because I hooked a Michaela who died down there. I was playing Freddy, and I was a mean Freddy too. I was, you know, because I had a daily or something
Make
like that.
Make them pay.
So I hooked somebody down there, and then I hooked two others after that, and I wasn't trying to do a basement build. It was just very convenient. And I got that achievement. I was like, oh, I thought this would be a lot harder to get. Who knew?
So you just have to hook three people in one game?
Yeah. In the basement.
I didn't even know that was an achievement. Do you know what it's called?
Something about like holiday gathering or something, or because it talks about the holiday tree or something, because that's what it's. Yeah, I think you might have to. Holiday get together. It might have to be sacrificing three people in the basement specifically, but I did do
in
that
in a public match. Have at least three survivors hooked in the basement at the same time. Oh, happy holiday! No, there's milk and cookies. No, the holiday get-together means have three hooked in the basement at the same time.
Then guess what? It bugged for me because Michaela was D-E-D dead when I hooked the other two. So that's fascinating. I hooked one of them. Did they yeet off the hook? No, I went. It's wild. So I got an achievement I probably shouldn't have gotten. Bugs in my Debbie? Let's see. What other games did I play this week? I played just a little bit of No Man's Sky. I'm waiting to see if they start up an Expedition 5 or what. I've been watching Alan play a lot of it. We are going to do a multiplayer game hopefully real soon. So that'll be fun. Other than that,
I'm looking games for the others. And the only other basement ones, there's Texas Barbecue, where you hook 25 survivors in the basement once per survivor per match.
Huh.
And then Holiday Get Together is the one that you just got. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. Wild.
Okay.
All right. You know, maybe it was bugging out in the way that sometimes you run by a hook and you still hear the noises of someone on it, even though they've long been sacrificed.
Yeah.
I bet it's doing that. Because I think I did hook them on three different hooks.
I think that actually happens when someone is spectating.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. All right. Anyway.
Very likely. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on, get into some gaming news. Loki, start us off while you still can.
Yeah. So apparently, Take-Two has purchased Zynga because Take-Two is kind of a toxic company. And now they purchased part of Activision Blizzard. Or wait, was that part of Activision Blizzard?
No, you're thinking King. King made Candy Crush.
Two mobile companies. I confused them and essentially the same. They purchased Zynga now because, you know, how else do we compete with, you know, Activision Blizzard? But we'll have our own mobile company that, you know, they'll push out some other stuff. So they bought them for $12.7 billion. And honestly, I could not tell you what they have worked on recently. But apparently they're going to be maybe possibly bringing, you know, some of the Take-Two franchises to mobile platforms. Looking forward to that mobile version of BioShock. That's
how
what
much,
we want.
How much did they pay for Zynga? Because when I heard the amount, I was like, Zynga's
$12.7 billion.
They're worth that much? Like, sorry, I'm not trying to be rude.
I'm surprised, yeah, considering that, like, you
But
you
the
know, Microsoft
Farmville days are long gone. Those long behind us. Like, what games is Zynga? Okay, does Zynga make one of those games where, like, okay, there was the one that Mariah Carey was in the commercial, and now there's a new one? Alan was showing me this commercial that Kathy Bates was in, and I've seen this commercial without the celebrities. It's something about like a grandma with a mystery or something, and she's like the whole commercial is like grandma's being taken away in the back of a cop car, and she holds up a sign that says like he's still alive and all this stuff, and then it's a fucking match three game, and it's like
yeah. it's not that. So they've put out like some of their games that they put out recently, CSR Racing 2, Zynga Poker, a bunch of slot machine games. And then I guess they're also working on Star Wars Hunters, which is an arena combat game that's coming out on mobile and Switch.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't think they're worth $12 billion, but...
I don't either. Okay. I forgot the Zynga's starting to get into consoles, though. Merge Mansion. That's the name of it. So I'm totally giving them a free prop. I should make sure it's not a ABK product because we banned them from the show. But I don't think it – oh, Metacore is the name of the company. So it's not even Zynga. Some new company that has – apparently it has made $38 million with some weird-ass fucking commercials, the newest one having Kathy Bates on it. So wild. All right. Bobby points out, Rob, there's a Zynga developer that was on your Dragon Con panel. She's working on Hunters. I had no idea that was a Zynga product. I really didn't. Let's see. And Black and Pat says, Zynga has a strong partnership with Hasbro. So Boggle, Words with Friends, all the damn Farmville, so many. Words with Friends. Okay. That's one that I know is still big. And still does very well. Even amongst the Wordle of the world. Oh, I don't think that made the show tonight, but you know all those knockoff Wordle clones got like yanked from the Apple Store and I think Google Play as well. I thought that was very interesting is that those Wordle clones, which is weird because Wordle isn't really an original concept. The game show Lingo was that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to have that without that asshole Chuck Woolery hosting, but, you know, Wordle's kind of a different thing. So it's interesting that that'll got pulled. I wonder if they are going to do an official app or something along those lines. I don't know, but word games are always very popular. You know, Dark Soccer talks about that one every other week.
Yeah, I always play Wordscape.
Yeah, Wordscapes. That's
I just
it.
Stopped counting it.
Even I played that for a little bit. So word games are very popular on mobile. So Black and Pat bringing up Words with Friends, that's definitely an aha moment. I think that one's definitely worth something. Questbuster says, last year was a bit rough for Zynga, but the acquisition fills in a mobile gap for Take-Two. If I recall correctly, only 10% of Take-Two's business is dedicated to mobile. You're probably right. It's just, it still seems like such a lot of amount of money. My gosh. All right. Mobile games. Have any of those crazy ads worked on any of you for mobile games? Because one that I left...
What ads?
Well, I see them in like Instagram. Like I was on.
I don't.
Oh, you're so edgy! Oh my god, you don't ever see ads. You're so edgy.
No, I mean I don't use Instagram hardly at all anymore.
You don't see ads anywhere.
And I've
anywhere?
Got an ad blocker, so.
On your mobile phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have an ad blocker on my phone.
Okay. Ooh, she's different. all right.
Sorry.
I see ads on Instagram. I see ads on TikTok. But one of the ones I saw on Instagram was a game called which is fine. They're not paying me, so I don't have to get the name right. It was something like Cat Island or something. And it was a bunch of cats, and it looked like an Animal Crossing game where they were on an island. I was like, sign me the fuck up. So I played it, and I was like, oh, kitties. And then I realized this isn't very good. So, but I was just curious if those ads have ever worked on people. Those of you that you know are the peons of the internet who still see ads. Mike Def says nope. Bobby Blackwell says everyone jokes about the Raid Shadow Legends ads that streamers get. They're the audibles for podcasts of the streaming world. Oh yeah, I've heard of that because that's the one that'll like pay you to do a sponsored stream and you get so much money for every person that signs up or something. Yeah. I've heard of that. All right. I've still never played it though, so my $3 or however much you get for convincing someone to sign up is still up for grabs. I'll give you that. All right, moving on for now, though, let's talk about Riot Games. And let's talk about a very interesting change that they're making in their world is that they are going to allow staff to leave with 25% of their salary, their yearly salary. And this is from a blog post where CEO Nicola Laurent talks about the plan for the next 5 years in terms of the structure of the company and the content and the direction they're going. So I want to make clear, when we talk about this, we're not talking about Riot as laying people off or telling people they need to go somewhere else and doing a contract buyout or just, well, there really is no contracts in California. It's a right to work or whatever they call it, state at will. That's it. Employment state. Mm-hmm. But what I do think is interesting is that they're willing to basically say, hey, if you don't like the direction we're going in, here's the money for you to leave. And it creates a very interesting temptation for people, too, because, you know, let's say you make, I don't know, we'll say you make $80,000 a year. I don't know. Let's say 60. We'll drop it a little bit so the math's easier. Oh, no, it's 25. Sorry, I thought it was a third. So 25%. We'll say 70,000 then. Okay. So seven divided by three is about $12,500 or something like that if you're willing to walk out the door right away. No, 17. I can't math. Why did I sign up for math tonight? Anyway, a substantial amount of money. So if you don't agree with the vision that the company has for the future, you can walk away. And you know, Riot's been under the microscope when we talk about a lot of this whole like harassment and women getting treated shitty and all of this stuff. You know, Riot's been under the microscope for that. And I will say, to the CEO's credit, this bold new direction for Riot is going to have none of that. Or at least, you know, obviously, you know what I mean. The vision has none of that, and hopefully they are able to make that a successful in implementation. So basically, if you think that we're being politically correct, or if you think this company is too woke, then you can walk. So I do appreciate that element of it, that Riot's basically paying people to leave if they don't like it. Get the hell out of here. This is a policy they've actually had in place for a while, but they're kind of upping it for the month of January to this 25%. But I guess new people to the company can always take 10% of their annual to leave, like if they don't like it during onboarding orientation. That's a thing they have. I think that's a very interesting thing for companies to put out there. But you know what? It might sound like a lot of money to pay somebody 10% of their salary, but you know what? The cost to like onboard somebody, train somebody, get them access to equipment and all that stuff, and the hours you're paying, that, you know what? It adds up. And so to pay them to walk away rather than invest that, it makes you know that they really want to be here. So that's very interesting, I think. So we'll see. I'd be curious to see how many employees take it. That's what I'll be interested to hear. All right. I'm very S2100 Matt with a comment over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, treat your employees well with respect. You will get a better product and a happier employee. That goes for any industry. It just benefits everyone to treat everyone well. Yeah, I don't talk about my day job here very much, but if they offered me 25% to leave, I wouldn't take it. I'd rather stay there for several more years because I'm happy with it and happy with the direction they're going and all that stuff. So like this buyout thing wouldn't work with me. But I bet that's not true of a lot of people out there who, if their company offered something like this, they probably would take it. And I get it. All right. Moving on, Dark Sakura. I think this is very interesting. This very mainstream press article you've got for us.
The only reason that I am going back into NFTs talking about it is because New York Times covered it about how pissed we are.
After our disastrous show last week, I would say the one thing I'm happy about our show getting cut short by the internet, we didn't get around to the NFT stories. Darn. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
The Lord works in mysterious ways. All right. But yes, the New York Times talking about it is very newsworthy.
Yeah. And there is actually, you know, basically these different companies are coming out with NFTs and related content, trying to push it for games that people are really looking forward to playing or are already playing. And then the moment that it hits the internet, the players are rebelling against it immediately. You know, they're like, no, we know what you're trying to do and we don't like it. There is a person named Mutahar Anas who is has a pretty big YouTube. And I'm just going to read the quote exactly because this is how I feel about it. People are being sold buzzwords. Those pushing NFTs in games are trying to sell you snake oil. And really, this is going back into a lot having to do with just how people are a lot more savvy these days. You know, gamers in general are older. we've been through seeing off.
Seen some shit.
We've seen some shit. We've seen loot crates and buying outfits for characters. And I mean, shoot, Final Fantasy 14 is pretty terrible about it, I think.
We lived in an era of the N-gage, people.
Yeah. But this is now taking all of the, you know, buying stuff with in-game currency and just pushing it up a whole other notch. A lot of players are really seeing that these companies are trying to nickel and dime and suck their user base for every penny that they can possibly get out of them, and they've had enough. And it's absolutely just disgusting. A lot of people are disgusted by it. There's people who are saying, you know, well, if they've got this thing that's not available in the game, but I have to pay to get it, why isn't it just available in the game anyway? I've bought this game. Why are you making me pay for more things that's already technically in the game? And I mean, there has been some major blowback. For example, Sega got a lot of negative press after they, you know, had made public information about their plans to use NFT and crypto. Ubisoft, we covered them at the end of the year. They also were really surprised at how unhappy their customers were. There's a couple of YouTube videos out there talking about where they had made the announcement that got like 90% dislikes from the people that viewed it. Some people are thinking that their NFTs, well, the companies are saying that their NFTs are not motivated by profit. For example, Matt Wolf at Zynga, his quote is that it's all about community. We believe in giving people the opportunity to play to earn. But no, the thing is about it is that the whole thing is that we're not stupid. We're not stupid.
Agreed.
A lot of people are stupid, but we're not.
I'm very curious. I need to crowdsource or chat source this a bit. Is there, because I would be honestly curious of the perspective. Are there any like gaming podcasts or YouTube channels you all listen to that are pro NFT? And like, what's the angle? And I mean things that existed before this that have decided they are pro NFT. I don't mean a show that started from some crypto folks who are now getting into gaming because NFT. I don't want that. I want somebody who existed before that is pro and continuing with that. I would be like, where are they? Because I would like to hear that perspective.
Well, I don't know from any on our level, but there are a couple of companies that are against NFTs. Valve, for one thing, for Steam, it prohibits blockchain games that allow cryptocurrencies or NFTs.
Thank God, because how easy would it be to convert that trading card system they have to something powered by NFT? And maybe that's why they get it.
What's silly, though, is like what these companies are trying to do is basically what Valve is doing already with some of these trading cards and other things. It's purchases where people can sell and trade stuff that they have. It doesn't need blockchain, though, to track all that. They have a system that just does it. It's fine. And they make they make a cut off of every trade, which is kind of what the companies want. So, like, I don't understand why we got to go this NFT route for all this stuff.
Because the difference with an NFT is that they're, you know, a lot of people are saying that these are going to be items that are transferable between games, or that you can use this token for your NFT in other franchises by the same companies. That's
sort
of where
you're taking Valve out of it. That's the point.
They will never do that.
Like, Valve isn't going to do it.
Can you imagine if, like, FIFA, if EA decided that FIFA Ultimate Team stuff, that the players would be transferable between different
Not
games?
Not the players.
They would never do that.
Outfits, items, you know, you would have something from one game that would affect the gameplay in another. You know, that's
high
where...
in the sky. It'll never happen. They'll never implement it that way.
But Jamie's right.
I don't
right.
say never.
But Jamie's right. That's what they think's going to happen, because that was that whole talk around Pinhead and Dead by Daylight and all, which
that
by the way,
goal.
Suddenly disappeared, that chat.
There's more about that, by the way. On Thursday, I believe it's going to be 5 o'clock Pacific time. There is going to be, I have to find the channel again, but Doug Bradley and his wife Steph are going to be talking about the recording session for Dead by Daylight. I caught last week's live show, and this one looks to be fascinating. They usually keep their repeats up. They also did one with Robert Englund, but that one's gone, I think. But also, Doug Bradley is just absolutely fascinating to hear talk outside of his Pinhead voice. But back to this. Tim Sweeney, the chief executive of Epic Games, said, and this is actually the tweet, "We aren't touching NFTs as the whole field is currently tangled up with an intractable mix of scams, interesting decentralized tech foundations, and scams." Although they're still allowing third-party developers on their store to allow blockchain. So this is what my thought is going to happen. They're going to keep trying. They're not admitting defeat yet. And I think that they're going to have, well, it's like what I said right at the beginning of the show, they're going to have to be deceptive about it. Does that make sense?
Yes. And
they're going to have to put this out in a term that is going to appeal and separate the concept, or at least the buzzword of NFT, from the concept of NFT.
And I just have to call out, have I gone robot? Because the thing is, we're losing frames.
No.
Okay, well, then
you sound fine to me.
Let's try to push through. We're at an
now you are.
I was, this is exactly the point that this started last week. Was right an hour into the show. Like clockwork.
It's big NFT doesn't want us talking about it. So they're doing everything to shut down the system.
Seriously. All right, just try to keep powering through for the sake of the podcast listeners. I'm going to pray it sorts itself out in the next few minutes.
It's not too bad right now to me, so let's keep
going. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Loki, why don't you go ahead with your follow-up then?
Well, speaking of NFTs, Konami, who, I guess they're making games still, they decided that, you know, with their NFT 35th anniversary memorial of the Castlevania series, they went ahead and sold out of those NFTs and made a total of $162,000. And this is why these companies are going to keep getting into it, because they can literally produce something that takes no effort whatsoever. It is just an image, and then they can make $162,000. That's effort for profit is just, it's insane. So yeah, they sold, the highest selling item, I think, was actually for $26,000, which was a digital map of Dracula's castle. It's just, that's just nuts. So yeah, it's here to stay. And one also, another person that's gained NFTs is none other than voice actor Troy Baker, who's partnering with Voiceverse NFTs to have an NFT, I guess, of him or his voice. I'm not really sure what it is, but nobody likes it. I like Troy Baker saying he's my favorite voice in Saints Row, but like, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly it is that he's trying to get on, except somebody probably sat him down and told him how he could make more money. And, you know, I guess Twitter is sure opening up his eyes real quick, though, as to why that's a bad idea. But I'm just so disappointed that Konami got rewarded for the whole like Castlevania NFTs and that whole thing, because we didn't get around to being able to talk about it last week because of the internet issues, which, by the way, I've got a green light now, so maybe it was just a hiccup. Let's all hold hands and pray. But I think chat, the live folks of the podcast won't notice anything, but the live folks have been able to hear us, but they haven't been able to see us. So that does tell me my upload just got borked enough where the audio is getting through, but the video is not. But now it should be everything. So it's just crazy. Anyway, let's all hold hands and pray. But meanwhile, the Castlevania thing, like, it blows my mind how, like, you can say that somebody owns a song as legendary as Bloody Tears. Not in this fucking house, you don't. That song belongs to the people. That song is art. That song should belong to the composer. You don't own that song. I don't care how much you paid for it.
Technically, Rob.
You don't recognize, I don't recognize that in this house.
Rob.
What?
As a person who has done a lot of graphic design, when you are contracted to do any kind of work, be it musical, anything like that, for a company, it is automatically a part of your contract that the company owns your final work.
Yeah, I get it. And that's how, like Beatmania 2DX is still able to use Naoki songs, even though he left the company a long time ago. Like, yeah, I get it from that standpoint and that whole thing. And obviously, when it comes to those sorts of situations and being able to re-release the games with the music intact and all of that, then yes, great that the company owns it. But like Joe Crypto Bro should keep their hands off that fucking song. Like, I think the best analogy to NFTs that I saw was the whole, like, you know those services where you register a star in the galaxy with your name on it and it's in this database, but it's not NASA's database, so it doesn't really fucking matter, and that is not the actual scientific name of the star. That's how I feel about all this stuff, is that y'all are buying into this database, and it's just like, okay, Bitcoin was the first crypto coin, but suddenly the first major, somebody's going to correct me on it if I don't clarify it, first major breakthrough crypto coin. There's going to be other forms of NFT and this whole stuff, and it's going to literally fall up its own black hole asshole into this void of non-existence, because the seas will be polluted with all of these people trying to get in on cashing out on receipts and naming rights, which is basically that whole thing.
Or better yet, when people decide it's not worth anything and then it just devalues itself to nothing.
Yeah. Mike Deft brings up this week in Fuck Konami. You know what's funny? I was sent the latest Jim Stephanie Sterling video on the Fuck Konami and the NFT stuff and what they had to say about the whole thing. I was actually a little disappointed. I thought the video would have a little more bite than it actually did. And that's no disrespect to Stephanie, who I think they have some great takes. But
I think it's just they've beaten that horse dead so much. That's why it's like, you know, what more is there really to say? It's kind of like at this point, they're kind of getting worn down by just the industry and everything. And so I'm a big fan of them. It's just like, yeah, it's like, well, it's not too shocking because it's Konami. So
that, and that's okay, Stephanie. It's like the last episode of our show. We tried. It didn't quite work. Okay. It's going to happen sometimes. It's okay. I'm still a fan. But it definitely felt like one of those videos where it was like, they're only doing this because they feel like they have to, or the fan base is going to complain, you know? But anyway. All right, let's move on. I don't want to talk about NFTs anymore. I got no fucking time for those. Let's talk about something for some reason you still can't buy, which is Final Fantasy XIV, because Final Fantasy XIV has been continuing to have server issues, but a roadmap was posted this week that will include resales of the game going back on sale. So Final Fantasy XIV, if you are not on board with the game yet and you've wanted to get in on it because of all the Endwalker hype, because the servers have been having so many issues, you can't do it right now. But as of January 25th, you will be able to buy the game again. Have you ever heard of a game company pulling a game off a shelf for a month only to put it back because the game is too popular? This is, like I said, 2021, crazy year for games. So, but now Kiyoshida did point out or did put out a list of where. So, what's going to change on January 25th, according to this roadmap? The Oceania data server is going to open. So, Australia, New Zealand, and you know some of the Pacific Rim, that whole part of the world is going to get their own servers. So, that's going to be people that come off of where those people are playing now, which is mostly the Japanese servers for a good chunk of that, and some of the North American servers, even because a lot of the Australians want to play there. Or Europe even. So it's going to involve a lot of those folks coming off of other data centers to play on a dedicated data center. So they think that's going to be enough to resell the game again. The queue situation is also, just talking firsthand, it's improved a little bit. It's still not great in prime time, but I can pretty reliably get on the game in my usual hours of like 8 or 9 o'clock at night and not face a huge queue. I think what's happened is that now that Endwalker's been out for a month, the people that wanted to play through the main scenario have done it. And Final Fantasy XIV has declared the end of spoiler warnings for Endwalker, so I guess we can openly talk about spoilers for the game now in their eyes. I'm not going to do it. We did a spoiler cast that's in the VOG Network archives here on Twitch if you want to go check it out. So I already have that all out of my system. So for those of you, because I think even Jamie said she still wanted to play through it at some point, I will not spoil. Y'all have your chance. But I think Square has basically, you know, taken that approach of, well, all the people that really wanted to play it are through the game now, so we can probably open it up a little more then. They are going to be adding more worlds to the North American server and Europe throughout the rest of 2022 and into 2023. The roadmap is really long. I gotta say, it doesn't look like they're really able to address the issues with North America, which, you know, yes, I'm going to be selfish and only care about that for now, until August of 2022. Four new worlds will go online in August. That's, I mean, I get that there's semiconductor shortages and all that, but damn, pull the servers for 11 and use them to run Fort. I'm just kidding. Final Fantasy 11 fans, don't hate me. Don't hate me. But everyone's playing on pirate servers
for
my now.
Old
anyway.
Version. It's never going to happen.
Ugh. Zeba in chat says the queues on the Crystal data center have been double digits. I will run into the 1,000-person long queue still on Cactar because, again, I was there first, but I happened to roll on the server where the very, very, very popular World of Warcraft streamer who decided to take up Final Fantasy XIV and rather enjoyed it and doesn't talk very favorably of WoW anymore. And I happened to be on that person's server. I was there first. Thank you very much. And again, I don't want to gatekeep the game. I'm thrilled that person is there. I'm thrilled the community is there. I'm hoping that what we're supposed to get before August and that whole cross data center thing is going to really help ease a lot of that. Because I know I am more than happy to go log into Crystal and go play with Zeba for the night, so I don't have to worry about the queues on Aether. And I think that will kind of work itself out at the end of the day. So I'm really, really hoping for the data center travel really soon. It's supposed to still come with, well, they're now saying not 6.1, but the 6.1X series. So it's going to be a few months still, but hopefully not too far out. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura. I think this is an interesting trend in the workplace.
Yeah, there are some video game studios who are taking to heart this thing that's been tried in Japan for several different companies, and that's moving people to a four-day work week. I am going to go and say this, that they're not talking about a four-day work week like I have, because I work 4x10. These are 4 8-hour days. And in fact, one of the companies, Crows, they actually, they're the group that did the Stanley Parable. They have rewritten contracts to do the same pay for 4 days of work instead of 5. And so far, so good. Eidos Montreal, actually pushing back against, you know, the crunch time hours and everything by trying to also limit time and making sure that people are able to treat themselves with compassion. That's the quote coming back from Pew from Crows. But there has been lots of studies coming on that shows this is actually scientific research. In Iceland, there was a trial run by the Reykjavik City Council that included over 2,500 workers, which is 1% of the population, is saying that the workers felt less stress and at work of burnout because their work-life balance improved after adopting a shorter working week. They have more time to spend with their families, do hobbies, and complete their household chores. And their productivity remained the same, even though they had gone down from 40 hours to 35 or 36.
Hmm.
The whole thing behind it is that they're saying that it's how the projects are being managed, that if a project is being managed well, then they should be able to get the same amount of work done in less time. That a more rested worker, a more fulfilled worker will be happier and work better.
Yeah.
Because they're not running on empty. And I actually find it funny that they were using an example from Japan about this, because over there it's considered to be sort of a mark of honor if you fall asleep at your job.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really wanting work to be more dignified. They want it to be something that's going to be where they're working ethically, which is harder for some of the bigger studios,
mm-hmm.
Which is why Eidos Montreal and Eidos Sherbrooke are considered like the biggest leaps in the industry as for taking this role, because they are larger studios. I mean, both of them have done Final Fantasy games, Tomb Raider, because they worked under Square Enix for a bit.
Right.
And of course they did Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, which is one of the like best games of last year.
Yeah, I was gonna say Questbuster just pointed that out in chat, and I went, oh yeah, that, speaking of 2021 games, that was way better than people thought it would be.
Yeah. And they're really, I mean, in the end, a lot of these companies are really trying to just be better to their employees, and they're getting better results.
Yeah.
And on top of that, one of the former producers at Crows, Alicia, I'm going to mispronounce her name, Contestable, I guess, was implementing the 4-day work week at the studio that she's setting up. And she's basically saying that because they're implementing that into their work structure, they're not losing any time at all. She thinks that her employees are going to be more resilient and well rested. And on top of that, they're also aiming for a healthier work culture. And the quote is that it's one that's fundamentally anti-racist, feminist, and LGBTQ+ friendly. I'm going to add the A, because don't forget the A ever.
Mm-hmm.
According to a UK report, moving to a 4-day work week can shrink carbon emissions, reduces the energy used in a workplace, and slash transport emissions for morning and evenings. And then giving an extra day off means that people take part in more low carbon activities, including resting, exercising, and seeing their family. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Because right now, I mean, the big thing we have going on is the series of walkouts and strikes and companies that have, you know, notoriously mistreating their employees, especially their non-cisgender white male employees.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think the work from home situation has also been very interesting, too, because it shows most companies are able to do it. I get with game design, it can be a little tricky because, you know, the collaboration and some of that is a little tricky, and that's why some games have had, like Nintendo, like a lot of their stuff has been delayed, is because, you know, that transition to work from home has been difficult for a lot of people. But for those where it works, and it has worked for many companies and many individuals within those companies, I think that's very interesting, like that long-term effect it's going to have. And it's also interesting it's having this conversation about what about 4-day work week, which I just realized in the scroll bar. I have 4 hour work weeks. I meant to put 4 day work weeks.
Whoop. I'm all for four.
Well, I'm all for that too. But yeah, 4 day work week.
And I need to specify that it doesn't sound like they're wanting people to do 4 tens. It sounds like they are working a regular 8 hour day, just 4 days a week.
Oh,
now,
interesting.
For me, I'm going to go ahead and this is going to go into a little bit of personal information on me. I do 4 tens. I do a 4 day, 10 hour work week. Well, you know, 40 hours, but 10 hours each day. Now, I also have FMLA, intermittent FMLA, which lets me take off a certain number of hours each month. I get 40 hours a month off. And I have noticed that I, working an 8 hour day, 4 days a week, because I was running that before I did my narcolepsy test, I actually felt generally better. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could face my work day, that I wasn't super burnt by the end of my day. Now I read a few years ago that they were saying that for like people over 35, that it's better health wise to work like 3 to 4 days a week as opposed to a full 5 day week. I only glanced at the study. But thankfully right now my work is still having us stay at home. And they're talking about moving to a hybrid schedule, which I plan on taking advantage of. That would be three days in the office and 1 day not. Depending on the day of the week, because it's they want people there on like certain days of the week. And I honestly think that we should stay at home. I think that everybody, if you can work from home, you should stay at home. If you're in an environment that you feel that you'd be better around people, yes, have the option. But the thing is that pushing people to be as productive with less presence, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
is better.
Go ahead.
Hmm?
I want to get out of chat comment.
Give people the time.
Okay.
And also, I'll just type it in.
Okay. S200 Matt in our chat says, this kind of goes back to what I said about a happy employee. I think a lot of companies – oh, it just scrolled off. I think a lot of companies are doing a lot of experimenting right now with helping employees mentally by giving folks a proper work-life balance. I think it's great, and we need to find a way to give employees that work-life balance. Yeah, a lot of companies – you know, really kind of having to evaluate what that means in this day and age, for sure. All right. Before we lose Loki, let's try to get some more stories out of him. Loki, what's next?
Oh, it's fine. I'll just connect to my phone when I'm done with power here.
Sure.
So I'll be here the whole show. Hopefully.
All right. That's the attitude. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So the LEGO Group is actually delaying some of the new Overwatch 2 sets because, well, Overwatch 2 isn't out, and other reasons as well. So they were originally going to launch in February on the 1st, but now it's being pushed back to next year because of the delay of the game. Also, they're also considering they're reviewing their partnership with Activision Blizzard, given the concerns about progress being made to address continuing allegations regarding workplace culture, especially the treatment of female colleagues and creating a diverse and inclusive environment. So, yeah, there's that, too. I didn't know they were going to put out new Overwatch. I
didn't know they were putting out Overwatch 2 stuff either when the game's nowhere near done. So that's kind of fascinating. But you know what? Props to LEGO for doing something extremely actionable about the whole situation. And really, you know, especially with Bobby Kotick still in charge, who's, you know, ultimately responsible for the work culture that he's created. I think that this is great that LEGO is, well, I mean, the situation fucking sucks, but what LEGO's action is really meaningful in this situation. And yay, LEGO. for doing something.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I didn't know it was coming out. Maybe the Green Purposes is something else. It's a pretty cool set.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this, because a lot of you have been sharing this one on social media this week, and I do see the humor in it. But we had some police officers that were fired. And why were they fired? Because they were playing Pokemon Go on the job. But when I say they were playing Pokemon Go on the job, I mean they were, like, really playing it on the job. There was a report this week that two LAPD officers were patrolling a mall in the Los Angeles area back in 2017, because our legal system is extremely slow. And of course, Pokemon Go was still every... I mean, a lot of people still play Pokemon Go today. But even back in 2017, there were still many, many people playing it. The control, you know, the people that talk about, hey, go here because there's a call or there's an incident. They were asked to respond to a robbery in progress. However, the officers instead went to go get a Snorlax at a nearby Pokemon gym, which I have no idea where that was, maybe at the mall or something. Apparently, the whole thing was recorded because every patrol car has a DIVCS. I don't know what that is, but it's a monitoring system. So, like, they know where the cars are at all times. And
it's
so,
like a GPS thing.
Yeah. In the court documents, it said, Officer Mitchell alerted Lozano that Snorlax just popped up at 46th and Limert. After noting that Limert doesn't go all the way to 46th, Lozano responded, oh, you know what I can do? I'll go down 11th and swing up on Crenshaw. I know that way I can get to it. Mitchell suggested a different route and then told Lozano, we've got 4 minutes. After Mitchell apparently caught the Snorlax, oh, well, I'm glad this story had a happy ending. After Mitchell apparently caught the Snorlax, exclaiming, got him, petitioners agreed to go get the Togetic and drove off. When their car stopped again, the monitoring system recorded Mitchell saying, don't run away, don't run away, while Lozano described how he buried it and ultra-balled. Oh, they put in the court report, B-U-R-I-E-D, buried it, like in the ground. I think what he meant to say was buried it like a raspberry, because that makes more sense. That's really funny that the court documents butchered that. English, it's a fun language.
It's probably just transcribed, you know. So
it is, but it's funny. Lozano described how he buried it and ultra-balled the Togetic before announcing, got him. Eventually, Mitchell exclaimed, holy crap, finally, apparently in reference to catching the Togetic, and he remarked, the guys are going to be so jealous. The Board of Rights had their own unique perspective on this, saying playing Pokemon Go showed complete disregard for the community, wasted resources, violated public trust, and was unprofessional and embarrassing to the department.
They've done a lot of other stuff that's more embarrassing than that.
I know,
right? They should be embarrassed about.
Behavior reflected gross negligence, cowardice, lack of thoughtfulness, and deceit. I know. And certainly there have been a lot of takes this week about, oh, Pokemon Go's the thing they're going to get in trouble for. I get it. But a lot of people have been sharing that story this week. I can't imagine why. But it is interesting. I will say this. The times I've been pulled over by the police, which only actually happened once, playing Ingress, I was so easily able to explain the game because I was like, okay, so you know Pokemon Go, it's like that. And now they all know what it is. I didn't really cross my mind that the police are all playing Pokemon Go, but I guess that's that. SG100 Matt says,
this is Luke territory. We're going to need you to get out of here.
Snorlax wasn't a big deal in Go, even in 2017. It kind of was. If you were newer to the game, it still kind of was. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Let's go back to a simpler time when the police were policing and not playing video games on the job. But if they were playing video games, they might have been playing this. Let me play the bumper for the segment, and then we'll explain. No, I think actually we need to explain how it's different first, because I don't have a lot of time.
I've already talked about it before.
I know, but you did it on the no show. You haven't done it on the podcast. So
I did it on the show that didn't last either.
I thought we didn't get to the segment last week.
But I talked about it.
All right. Anyway, well, let's remind people. We have a 2022 twist this year on the Classic Game of the Week. So once a month, and finally we're getting to it this month, Darkstalker is going to pick something different. We've done classic soundtracks. We've done classic 8-bit games. We've done classic peripherals. And for 2022, Darksakura is going to do...
I'm doing classic electronic handheld game.
All right. So, that being said, let's get to the bumper.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And she mains, of course, classic electronic handheld. This is, oops, and of course the wrong screen is up. Go me. Let's try flipping that around a little bit. And, oh gosh, darn it. The tab accidentally closed. That's all right. Let me go back to the main show shot. And Darksakura, why don't you start talking about this? And I will get in. I'll get the footage up. Sorry.
The game is the Tomy handheld Tron game. That's the first one. It came out in 1982. It is one of three different games. It contains, three games that were based on different action sequences in Tron. In the first one, you are playing a light cycle game around the game grid, and you got to cut off the other drivers. The second one, Tron versus Sark, throw discs at each other, kind of like Pong. So, you know, but it's the whole ring fighting game. And then the last one, you have to throw your disc into the heart of the MCP to destroy it. Once it's done, then you start over faster with a higher level of difficulty. And this thing, it definitely looks very 80s. You know, it's the whole sort of square boxy shape, you know, with big button and everything, a switch in the middle. It's actually, I mean, keep in mind, this was top notch when I was six. So,
this is still top notch at me being 43. Are you kidding? This looks rad.
Well, and it was called, they were called the Tomytronic, electric games. They also did, like, they had a Scramble was one of them. There was a Pac-Man that was circular, like a disc, and it was one of the Tomytronic ones. You know, they did a bunch of different ones like that. But I brought up the Tron one in particular because we love Tron here. We love Tron in this house. And I thought that this one would be a neat one, you know. And it is pretty cool. You know, you have the different light colors on the screen. And it was all just, it was pretty tops when it came out. And on top of that, the box was cool. Just that big old Tron logo on it. Of course, there was one that was released, of course. There was a Japanese one. There was a U.S. one. They had their own little manuals and everything. They were pretty cool. Of course, our manuals were in black and white, and the Japanese ones had pink accents on them. But that's it. Not a lot to talk about.
Okay, sorry. You caught me running back in the room from a potty break. But I was watching the B-roll earlier, and this is like a machine I want to get my hands on. How did you, and I'm sorry if I missed it, how did you find, or how did you know of this? Did you have a friend that had one or something?
I had the Tomytronic Pac-Man when I was a kid.
Gotcha.
But I knew about the Tron one because I had been on this big, like, Tron kick. So I knew about it.
Gotcha. Looking at some comments in chat, SJ100 Matt says, I would have totally gotten this if I saw it as a kid. You were a kid. You didn't have your own money, Matt. That's right. You would ask Santa for
one, like, a few years after it came out, like, from a thrift store or something.
Ziba in chat
there was
says,
also, like, Alien Attack, which was also a neat one.
Zeba in chat says, this is interesting. Yeah, and a lot of folks in chat saying, wow, I never heard of this, but this looks really cool. Well, this might be a theme that is repeated throughout the year 2022 as Darksoccer gets into the classic electronic handhelds of the week. Because I imagine, you know, most of our listeners, I know the hosts of the show are pretty much in their 40s at this point, but a lot of the listeners, I think, are more in their 20s and 30s. So literally a lot of machines that came out before you were born. And even for us, like, we were young kids when these types of machines were out. So I think there's going to be a lot of things.
I found an eBay listing.
How much do they want for these on eBay?
One of the mid-range ones is $180.
Jesus.
And I'll link it in chat so that people can see some of the pictures on it. But yeah. But it's you know, it's a neat way to see what it looked like, all sides of it and everything. It's pretty cool.
All right. Well, there it is, your classic electronic handheld of the week. Very cool. Love it. Yeah. All right. Let us now go around and do some rapid fire news and talk about some other headlines happening amongst the game real quickly. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I mean, some of us spend $800 on replica cabinets. So $180 for something like this is what I expected. $800, Bobby. Are we not going to talk about the rush table? Because we should talk about the rush table.
Are we not going to talk about everything that's in my house?
Exactly. Which, well, Bobby's starting his own little, he's starting a East Coast version of that in Bobby Theater at Bobby Manor. So, all right. All right, moving on. Let's get to some rapid fire news. Logi.
All right. So apparently we just found out that the Xbox One was, they stopped production on it a couple of years ago. So apparently we just found out that the Xbox One S was stopped in production at the end of 2020, and that the Xbox One X apparently, well, that was stopped in, I guess, July of 2020. So now we know. Not that it makes a difference.
That was the wildest headline, you know, for them to come out and just be like, oh, by the way, the Xbox One is done. Like, I actually kind of admire them for being able to kind of like stealthily do that so that people would miss it. Because, you know, if they came out and said, we're going to be ending the Xbox One in 2 months, everyone would have said, oh, but I'll never be able to get one. And you know, there would have been just, and for them
it's not such a big deal since everything's kind of backwards compatible anyway. So yeah. It's
very bold of them to be like, we got rid of this months ago and none of you noticed. So moving on.
Yeah.
That was very gaslight gatekeep girl boss on Microsoft part. Yes.
So, and then of course, following up, going back to our predictions for the year and how, you know, CEOs of these corporate, you know, giants that make way too much money, and a lot of times they're really toxic people. Well, now we have a list of those toxic people and the money that they made. So, you know, Bobby Kotick made $154 million. We have Andrew Wilson made $34 million. And then what else? Strauss Zelnick, only $18 million. Man,
poor
peasant
guy.
Money there. I know. The top earner for 2020 was actually Robert Antokol with Playdigha. Never heard of them, but $372 million. And then we also had folks, Andrew Paradise from Skills and John Riccatello from Unity on the list. NCSoft, Razer, and Team 17.
I know none of these fucking names except for John Riccatello. I've heard that one, but none of the.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
And then the very bottom, at least out of the 42, was Lars Wingefer, which was Embracer Group with $162,000. So just every time that they tell you that they need to raise prices of the games because they're just not making enough money to pay for these games, maybe they could tap into some of that money that these CEOs are making, because I think $154 million probably goes a long way when it comes to game development. Just a thought, you know.
You could live off of the interest.
Yeah.
That much money would bring
in. They probably pay their developers a little bit more money, you know. So, fun. don't expect it to get any better, only worse.
All right, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
So, a game I love, Cotton. The Cotton Sega Saturn Classics are going to be coming on to PC before too long. That includes Cotton 2, Cotton Boomerang, and Guardian Force, Cotton Guardian Force. They are beautiful remastered games. The PS4 and Nintendo Switch version were criticized because of input delay issues. And so it looks like there's going to be some patching done before the release, and it should be coming out. And there's also going to be a new sequel, Cotton Rock and Roll, is being developed to come out later this year. And then also, the official logo for the Street Fighter 35th anniversary is out. And it will be celebrating its 35th anniversary on August 12th. And they have teased things about the future of the series will be announced. So whatever the hell that is.
Street Fighter.
Although we do know
six?
There's final DLC. The character Luke will have an important role.
All righty.
That's it.
All right. Let's travel around the... I'm sorry, I'm having internet issues again, so sorry if I'm going robot on you guys. But let's travel around the world and check out some release dates around the world, starting with the U.S. Loki.
We have Shadow Man Remastered on Nintendo Switch. Nobody Saves the World on PC, Xbox One, which is dead. Xbox Series X. We have the RP Golf Legends. I guess it's a role-playing golf game. Awesome. That's on
weird.
PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia. Windjammers 2 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. And last but not least, Mousecraft on Xbox One.
All right. I know I'm a little robot, but in the recording, I'll sound fine, so I'm going to push through for Japan. The Nintendo Switch will be seeing the RP Golf Legends is actually releasing over there. It's an English version, but it is getting a Japanese retail release this week on the 20th for the Switch. And then a game called Lucky Dog 1 is the only really other release on the Switch this week in Japan. Taking a look, though, at the PlayStation 5, we have Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction. It's worldwide, including Japan, so they're getting it as well this week. And that's really it for the Japanese releases. So let's check in with Dark Sakura and the UK.
We have on the 18th, we have Surviving the Aftermath. On the 20th, we have Rainbow Six Extraction. We have Expeditions Rome. On the 21st, we have Neversong. We also have Black Wind and The Dungeon of Nehalbuk, I guess. I guess that's how it's pronounced.
Sure.
That's it.
All right. Let's get into some more news. Loki.
All right. So Sony's making more PlayStations. Isn't that exciting? They just have a 4 in front of them or after them. Not the fives. So apparently, since, you know, hey, the fives are pretty hard to get, we're going to put out more PlayStation 4s. Not exactly what people are looking for, but something, I guess.
I see what you did there. Looking for.
Yeah, so cool. I don't think it's been hard to get a PlayStation 4, though, so.
I think for some reason they think that this is going to keep people within the Sony brand or something like that. Or maybe they're going to try to leverage more cloud stuff. Or it's just the fact that the new exclusives for now are still, as far as I know, PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, if I remember right. You know, things like Horizon Forbidden West is going to play on a PlayStation 4. So, I guess.
I mean, so... That's good for the short term. I would just wait, honestly, though, if you're really looking for a PlayStation 5. I think a lot of people that are looking for a PlayStation 5 probably already have a PlayStation 4, so I don't know. Whatever.
Weird.
You know, it would be ironic as if scalpers also were scalping these, just, you know, just to show
just,
them.
Just because they can.
Just for the pure spite factor.
Oh, I hate it. What about can I ask you real quick? Hopefully I'm coming through okay audio wise on your end, but we didn't quite get to it in the show roll tonight, but I've definitely seen the rumors, and maybe that's why we didn't show roll it, because more rumors about the PlayStation 3 stuff on PlayStation 5. I guess there was a listing in a store somewhere that was, or like the PlayStation store had a PS3 game in it for a hot minute, and this has a lot of people speculating. What do you think of that? That maybe backwards compatibility is finally something that Sony is going to be leveraging.
They'll just be resold games just like they did at the PlayStation 2.
Digital only and not running off your old discs.
Right, yeah, because even if you own a copy of that on the PlayStation 3 or whatever, that you wouldn't be able to play it because it'd be like a remaster or something like that. Yeah. I don't remember if that's exactly how, I mean, obviously that would be how it had to work on the PlayStation 2 because they didn't have a digital storefront for PlayStation 2, for the PlayStation 2, but... Yeah. For the PlayStation 3, I would hope that, like, if I own the game digitally, that I could just play it digitally. But if they're going to sell it to you again, I'm sure that they're going to want that opportunity to sell it to you again.
That would be incredibly shitty if, like, my digital library didn't roll over.
Well, this is a company that also charges $70 for their games. So, yeah, I can see that.
I'm curious, though, too, because a lot of folks are noticing that the PlayStation Now prepaid cards are starting to disappear. I guess that's been a whole thing as well. And folks are thinking folks are thinking that this rumored PlayStation Plus and cloud gaming getting rolled into that and that whole thing may be all coming to a head here, that all of this is kind of together. Like, it's not a coincidence that this is all happening at once, and that maybe the PlayStation 3 stuff is all going to be cloud stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, isn't that already cloud stuff now? I mean, like, it's just, I just don't want PlayStation Now, period. Like, if they had the, I don't even know if they have the option to, like, download stuff. It's just, it's not interesting to me. Like, I have a ton of games on the PlayStation. I don't play my PlayStation anymore.
I don't want it either, especially with my shitty internet these days.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like, oh, but you can stream it. Okay, cool. Don't want to do that though. Like, I'd rather just play the disc I have or something. You know, it's like I don't. Whatever, yeah. It's fine.
All right, I thought this was an interesting thing that kind of crossed my desk this week. It was one of those things that Dark Tetsuya put down in front of my eyes and was like, look at this, because this is interesting. And I agree. This is an article that Vice was running, and I thought this was neat. Apparently, y'all know, I'm sure anybody that is around our age knows of the Epic NES emulator Nesticle was the name of it, which is a little bit dirty, but that was the point. And there was also a follow-up emulator of sorts. There was Genesis that would play the Genesis games, right? And the big deal about those emulators is that they were really the first they weren't the first emulators, but they were the first to do it so well on a lower-end computer that these emulators really caught fire. And I can tell you, like, my college years, those were huge and instrumental about those years. And there never was really a Super Nesticle or SNES, which obviously kind of became the next thing that got emulated after the Genesis. And I remember, I think the big ones back in the day were like ZSNES, and I think there was another one. But we never really saw what the maker, because it was one guy that did Nesticle. He might have had help or whatever, but it was basically all credited to one guy, Sardou, that did this. And I remember asking this question on a episode in the past, but that guy ended up going to work for EA. Sardou went to work for EA, and he ended up working on sports titles. And there's a big aha moment with all this, because apparently what happened is that there was an Easter egg in a GameCube game that would run Super Punch-Out. So the GameCube game was Fight Night Round 2, and in this Easter egg, you could actually play Super Punch-Out. Well, somebody, through looking through the code, found out that whole thing was running on SNESticle, Super Nesticle, basically. Hmm. So
Nesticle,
his original vision or whatever for what Super Nesticle was going to be was essentially bought by EA. kind of going back to that whole comment Dark Soccer said earlier about when you do something for a company, the company now owns it. That's so EA bought themselves some snesticles, basically, to use as this. Now, obviously, retro programming is not the only thing that the author is, you know, I'm sure doing at this point, but it is very interesting. Now, why is this relevant? We're talking about an old-ass GameCube game in the Super Nesticle. Well, for one, I think a lot of people would be interested, like, whatever happened to that, you know, that guy and his emulators and things like that. But what happened, a Swedish programmer recently, Johannes Holmberg, took this knowledge and basically reverse engineered Fight Night Round 2 to isolate that emulator, and it was only used to play Super Punch Out, so who knew if it could run anything else. But it's now on GitHub. There's a Python script on GitHub called the Snesticle Liberation Project, which you can find. The URL's kind of long, but maybe somebody, if you can even hear me in chat right now, can link that. But yeah, it's basically a disk image file that will run Snesticle. And apparently, most Super Nintendo games do run. Of course, they have to do more testing. There's even Mode 7 effects in it. And it's pointed out Super Punch-Out didn't really use those. But there are issues. Some of the controller mapping is a little wild. And there is no two-player support. So there's better Super Nintendo emulators out there. But I think this is very interesting because Sardou's particular emulators were such a huge part of the history of emulators when all is said and done. I think this particular piece of work was very interesting to a lot of people. And I don't know, you know, what this if you think about it, the author of this thing, the guy that made Nesticle is probably like 40 or 50 now. So who knows, like, how much he wants to be remembered for this type of stuff. But I think it's very interesting. I really do. So yeah. Looking in chat. Oh, the other Super Nintendo emulator, I couldn't remember. SNES 9X. That was the other one. There were kind of two that were big at the time. Yeah. Good call out, you guys.
That was always the one I used with SNES 9X.
Yeah, yeah. One of them would do like internet multiplayer, but it really wasn't good. But I remember playing, I think I finally played through something like Secret of Evermore on one of those emulators.
It was like Beast Nest as well. I mean, there were some of the Mac ones too. Like right now, I'm trying out OpenEMU.
Yeah.
It's just supposed to be like multi-machine emulation.
Dr. Tsuya in chat says, I just thought it was a really cool story. I remember hearing about SNESTICLE and the hidden Super Punch-Out. Yeah, I think it's fascinating because, and especially because, like, again, those like were my college years, were playing the shit out of those emulators. And, you know, I know it's in the legal gray area, but being able to keep that at the forefront of my mind enabled me to buy these retro collections all these years later and actually sign up for the Nintendo Switch Online and spend way more than I'd care to admit on Virtual Console. It's almost as if you legally put the emulators out. A lot of times people will take advantage of it. That's for sure. Fifth Dream in chat says he just worked at EA back then, so he may have just stuck it in and now it's EA's. I doubt he just stuck it in. I don't think you do that when you're a new guy, you know, working on a game like that. I think they knew. He built emulators. They had the rights to do this particular thing. They wanted it done well, and I think they basically bought this guy's code to do it. So, interesting. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So, and I had posted this on my Twitter not long ago, but SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters Clash is on the Switch now. You can just go get it. It is a port of the Neo Geo Pocket Color game, and it's $7.99. You can get it in the eShop. It's got characters all over both companies' history, and it was really popular and really fun. We've got the originals. We were totally into playing a bunch of that, remember?
Yeah, and this was part of why I thought, like, this is very much like a Jamie alert for this week. And I know a lot of people were pleasantly surprised by the release of this on the Switch because it really did kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, I saw a post about it. I reposted it. I haven't gotten it yet, but I mean, it's definitely, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that's like, I've got the original and mm-hmm. I'm kind of don't want to go back and play it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people do, and a lot of people missed it. So it's great. It's a great one.
All right.
Especially because it has Last Blade characters in it, and that makes me happy.
So just quickly going back to the last story, because I'm pretty impressed with what Bobby Blackwolf is doing with his research here on Sardou and where he's been. Apparently, Bobby found the LinkedIn profile and he works at Tiburon in Orlando. So he works on Madden. So that's all on the public LinkedIn profile. And on the age portion, he graduated high school in 94, which, if I remember correct, was the same year.
My age.
Yeah. So he's exactly your age. So that's.
And what am I doing with my life?
Well, a lot.
Fuck all.
A lot. You've done a podcast for 20 years. Where's your emulator?
I'll emulate.
That's still, you know what, though? But the fact that, you know, the fact that he wrote an emulator then at a relatively young age. So he did that in college and it was better than anything else. It was so good that other game companies wanted to buy that talent. That's very impressive. I hope he's making buku bucks at EA. And that's the person that should be on the highest paid list, not these fucking CEOs.
The people who work.
Seriously. All right. Anyway, Loki, speaking of people that should get paid, people that clean the internet of garbage should definitely get paid, right?
Right. Yes, exactly. So apparently Twitch has purged over 15 million hate raid bots as of last year. To which I have the follow-up question. How were there 15 million hate raid bots on Twitch?
They weren't doing account verification at the time. And since they brought in the account verification, it's taking quite a bit for some of these bot accounts to get around it now.
Have you ever looked at the viewer list when you're streaming, though? I have so many bots that hang out in my channel. And for
actually viewers or just lurkers?
They're neither. It's I believe, now somebody feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that because Twitch's chat system is essentially a customized version of IRC, which we used to use back in the day, right?
God, back in the day.
Yeah, which actually really wasn't that long ago. If you think about it, we've only been on Twitch since like 2018. But IRC, basically Twitch is running off a customized version of that. So I think a lot of these bots, and I think like Nightbot kind of leverages that a little bit. It doesn't really watch your channel, but it's leveraging those IRC skeleton portions to respond to commands in this case. But you have all these other bots that are
stream elements
lurking
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. To which suddenly lurkers are speaking up in chat. Rep Cycled says, I'm real. I promise. All right. No, luckily I've seen your name before, so I know you're real. But I'm talking about in my personal stream. It'll say I have two viewers, and then I look at the list of who's in the channel, and there's all these bots. And you can tell they're bot names. And I'm like, do I ban them? Because they seem harmless. Like, I just would like to know what data they're collecting.
Some of them are analytic bots. Some of them do belong to Twitch.
Yeah, I'm fine with analytics and data and just curious Cathy's. I'm fine with all that. It's the haters that can go away.
Like right now, I have a bunch of people that are left in here from when I did my marathon who haven't left.
Yeah.
But like I have things like MetaView, you know, just different trying to, you know, another TTV viewer.
I've seen that one, yeah.
So these are all just analytic. Some of them are analytic ones. Some of them are legit people, you know. Actually, you know, friends. You can click on the name. Like, I'm clicking on just a bunch of names in a row. And these are, like, actual people.
Huh.
Although, my favorite one right now is Broke My Stream Deck.
and lurkers, you can feel free to lurk. I do not mind a lurker. I lurk in a lot of channels. I lurk in Dark Soccer's channel because I like to watch on my Xbox.
I saw you in there too.
Yeah.
Still lurking. I am fully down to what's the word I'm thinking of? To let people, you know, hang out and lurk. I'll leave names in there. It's the moment that they start actually saying something that's harmful to my community.
Oh, yeah. Barf, yeah.
Then no, I'm not down for that. I'm going to, you know, ban them. There were also I was using this tool that Bourbon linked a while back.
Hmm.
Who another awesome DBD and New World streamer. There was a tool that would let you look through your history of like who joined at like a certain time and by certain names, and then let you just mass ban them.
Oh, interesting.
Which was wonderful. I've got the tool somewhere, and sometimes I still will use it. That's why, like, for my follower goal is like a few, you know, as it shows on my stream, is a few off than what I actually have. So, yeah. It's kind
of
weird that way.
It's funny you mention him, too, because that's a perfect example of one of those channels. I think I've maybe ever said one thing in the chat room, but I've watched a lot just on my Xbox, like in the background when I'm, you know, doing it. So it's just funny. I have a lot of Twitch people like that where I haven't really, and there's others where like I participate, and it's nothing like he's a great streamer. I wouldn't watch him in the first place, but it's just, you know, sometimes I'm just not able to actively chat. So I just lurk, you know?
Yeah.
And it's weird to come out and suddenly say, hi, I'm watching.
Yeah. He's one of the ones that I can give shit to and get it back. And it's pretty fun.
That's good. That's good.
You know, tease him for his toxic Steve.
All right.
But yeah, but at any rate, I think that whatever it is that Twitch did, and I want to say that that verified user thing is a pretty big step in it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen very many hate raids, if anything, in some of my bigger streamer friends' chats. I have seen like a person come in and... Well, actually, a funny scenario was, was it Lily Pie I was watching? I think it was Lily Pie, who this person just came in being like this racist piece of shit. And she's like, I played like 3 ads while this person was in my chat. So I made money off of them. And then they take themselves out.
Yeah. It's,
yeah,
I've seen a few spam bots and some occasional nerdy things, and not in the good kind of way, in people's chat. But for the most part, like, it seems that a lot of the tactics Twitch has been using has been effective, and that's good. You know, it's about time. Good way to start off 2022.
I still think that they need to do something about their auto banning system. Because there were people that were getting banned for... Just for, like, stuff that wasn't actually, like, a real offense. And, of course, nobody responds to it. They stay banned for that 30 days, and then it's a strike, especially bad for people who are trying to go for partner.
Right.
Yeah. Which I could use another, you know, 70 people watching my stream at any given point in time.
So could Vog. So could my channel. It's just finding that wave to make you carry further. So,
yeah.
All right. Speaking of big things on Twitch, we have to, of course, in our last slotted story slot tonight, talk about AGDQ, or Awesome Games Done Quick. And I'm sure many of you that listen to our show also listen to Bobby Blackwolf, who is live before us on Sunday nights. And I would encourage you to check out his podcast if you are a podcast person and not hearing his show live. But our pal Bobby was one of the hosts for this, and hosted some of the speed runs. And I saw the Earthbound one, a little bit of that. That was a lot of fun. And I watched some of the ones he wasn't hosting too. It's always a good event. Very well received by, I think, the gaming community. A lot of positive vibes in that chat room. They limited to subscribers only. So honestly, just that alone clears out a lot of the garbage. Because, you know, I don't think subscribers only is an effective tactic for streamers like Dark Soccer and myself, where we don't have 70 plus people watching. But when you have 50,000 people watching, it's very effective at keeping a lot of the trash out. So they do a good job with that, and it's kind of fun to watch chat sometimes in there. But Games Done Quick also shattered records. They raised $3.4 million. That is the largest amount of money that Games Done Quick, either summer or winter in the awesome version, has ever raised. And that was for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. So that's really cool. Also, during the marathon, there were some new world records set, meaning the fastest games have ever been run, including newer games like Kena Bridge of Spirits, and then Pumpkin Jack. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice was a blindfolded run that had a lot of people. I don't think that was a world record, but that was a thing that had a lot of people paying attention to that.
I'm trying not to use crazy. That was just pretty awesome.
It's pretty incredible. It really is. So, lots of good stuff to see. A lot of people were tweeting me about the not ITG, which was like basically DDR and In the Groove just bananas level. Like that level that just makes me exhausted looking at it and going like, oh, I'm definitely 40 years old. And that whole thing. But props to the people that can do it. It's a very impressive show and helped to raise all the money and smash the records at the end of the day. And isn't that what it's all about? All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Let's get to the listener roundtable. Unfortunately, with the internet cutting in and out, I know the live folks are having a hard time. I think they can still hear us. I know they can't see us. It's just blitzing in and out. I'm so sorry, but there's really nothing I can do about it. I have a lot more to say on this next week for episode 900. I'm announcing an announcement, but I will leave you teased till then. Just don't expect this to last forever. That's all I have to say.
I'm assuming that ding dong is the power going to be going out.
Your power is about to, oh boy, oh boy, what an ending. All right. Well, before we end, let me try to see if we got any emails at least to get into tonight.
One.
Okay, cool. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email. Let's get to the one email that we got this week.
This is back from the 7th. Hi, OLR. I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the, quote, fluff discussions on the post-Christmas episode. On the subject of free games that turned out to be a pleasant surprise, I bought a Game Boy Advance on eBay a few years ago, and it came with DK King of Swing. I'd never even heard of it before, but I found it to be truly excellent and underrated platform game. The L and R buttons control each of Donkey Kong's hands, which you use to grab pegs and swing yourself across around the stages. Super fun. Anyway, I hope you all are staying safe, and please keep up the good work. Elliot B.
Thank you for the email, and I love that, the random stuff that you come across. And I thought the fluff segment thing worked out really well, too. You know, most weeks we actually have news to talk about, so I don't know how regular that segment will be. But thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was a fun, fun night. So I'm sorry it took us like 4 weeks to answer it, but it is what it is.
2022, it's just...
My God. It's all right.
Sucks.
It's all right. Things are gonna look onward and upward. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you have something you want to contribute in the future. Loki, did you have any last-minute stories you wanted to talk to us about?
I don't.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, with the internet stuff, I think at least we got through a show, but I think the forces that be are kind of telling us perhaps it is time to just go ahead and wrap things up. And so I think that is what we will do for the night. Hey, we got 2 hours out at least. I'm happy. And the show was good. It's just, yeah. So much to say, and I'm going to say some stuff soon, but until then, let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. And Dark Soccer, I'll start with you tonight.
Eat your vegetables.
Okay. Broccoli's good.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Have a good stream.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Hopefully, some more adepts in Dark Soccer's future tonight. All right. Meanwhile, I'll say my final thought, and I just pretty much already said it, but I was going to say, next week is 900 episodes of OLR, which is no small feat. And I want to thank all of you that stick with us through thick and thin, be it the podcast feed, be it here live through bandwidth suffrage and all that stuff. Really appreciate it. Episode 900, I've got a personal announcement I'm going to make on the show that I'm really excited about. Those of you that follow me on social media will probably see it sooner. So I will talk about that. And it's going to be, it is going to affect the show, but it's going to be, I think good stuff. So I hope. All right. Loki, we're down to you.
Yeah, I'm just hopefully going to put out some more videos soon. I want to get back into live streaming again, too, at some point.
Yeah, soon, it's fun. You should. Hopefully. I've been trying to do as much of it as I can on weeknights. I forgot to talk about Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster. I played more of that this week, but I only did like maybe another hour and a half. But I'm still enjoying it enough, as much as the font still bothers me. But it is what it is. All right, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys again for sticking with us through thick and thin and through a kind of a rough start to our 20th year. But it really can only go up from here. Baby steps, right? Have a good week, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time. Happy gaming. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio.
Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.